6 weeks after it was formed, Iraq's governing council is close to naming cabinet ministers, a key step toward exerting more authority for the reconstruction of the country. U.S. administrators and council members agree that the council must raise its profile. U.S. officials hope a greater and more visible Iraqi involvement in governing the country might reduce some of the hostility to the American-led occupation. NPR's Ann Garrels reports from Baghdad.
Iraq's governing council is an unwieldy group of 25 prominent Iraqis, doctors, lawyers, clerics, diplomats, businessmen, and activists drawn from a variety of political, ethnic, and religious backgrounds. After the long domination of Saddam's Sunni tribesmen, this diversity is a necessary but difficult proposition in this experiment with democracy. Muhi al-Khatib, a distinguished Iraqi diplomat who fled the country 20 years ago, has returned to become the council's secretary general. He says juggling egos and competing interests has taxed his diplomatic skills as never before.
I pray every day. I need a lot of prayers.
The governing council works out of temporary quarters with only 6 rooms where members, staff, and visitors jostle for a quiet corner where they can conduct business. In addition to addressing the legacy of the past, de-Ba'athification and restoring jobs and property to Saddam's victims, the council must start building a future. This is a daunting agenda complicated by a critical shortage of money and a security environment that resembles a low-intensity war. The council has received death threats, most recently broadcast on Al Arabiya, an Arab satellite network. Locked behind armed guards in a compound, the council members are isolated from other Iraqis. Raja Habib Khusai, a hospital director from a large Shiite tribe in the south and one of only 3 women in the council, says the delay in naming ministers hasn't helped its credibility with Iraqis who have yet to see concrete results.
Unless you have a minister, you can't run the country. This should have been done really a month ago. The Iraqis are waiting.
Echoing this frustration, 80-year-old Adnan Pachachi, a former diplomat and president of Iraq's Independent Democrats, says appointing ministers is key to assuming more power.
We can't be blamed for any shortcomings. We have had absolutely no direct contact with any of the government departments.
Choosing ministers was delayed as the governing council debated who should chair the council, agreeing in the end on a 9-person revolving presidency. Then key members left the country for a tour of neighboring states ahead of next month's Arab League meeting. Council Secretary General Khatib says this was critical to gaining legitimacy.
They were skeptical. They thought that the council is only a puppet of the Americans. We told them we are not. We think it's the right step to gain our seat at the United Nations. If we go directly to the United Nations, then they will say, oh, you couldn't succeed in your neighborhood. How come you are coming internationally?
To improve legitimacy at home, the council says it must address security and resumption of services. According to Nasir Chatterjee, a lawyer and leader of the National Democratic Party, the U.S. has belatedly realized Iraqis must be more involved in security. Chatterjee hopes that with the appointment of an interior minister, the council will have more control over the police, arguing Iraqis are better at policing than American troops. Interior is one of 4 ministries, along with foreign affairs, finance, and oil, which are considered the most important. Competition for these slots is fierce. The process of naming ministers has also been slowed by efforts to apportion the posts among the ethnic and religious groups. To ease this, council members have proposed expanding the number of cabinet positions from 21 to 25, in essence giving each council member control over 1 post. When ministers are named, Adnan Pachachi anticipates battles with the U.S.-led administration over the allocation of resources. He says rebuilding Iraq has proved far more difficult than the U.S. anticipated.
It is a hot potato. I mean, there's no doubt of that. And it's not getting cooler. It's still hot.
The U.S. has said several tens of billions of dollars from abroad will be needed to rebuild Iraq in the next year. And the administration may soon ask Congress for a few billion more for this year, just a week after saying extra money wasn't needed. Ann Garrels, NPR News, Baghdad.